Today's recording is L'Zchus the Refuah Shleima in merit of the complete recovery of Barbara Korn, Bela Malka Bas Aidi Eti. May she have a complete healing by her nephew Mark Gottlieb and family. We call God Yedid Nefesh, the beloved of our soul. But as we learned yesterday, that phraseology actually comes from the fact that first God calls us Yedidus Nafshi, the beloved of God's soul. And as we learned yesterday, that what makes the transition, what makes the difference between a person not just being a friend or even a dear friend, but rather being that beloved, the absolute beloved, is when one is able to completely bear one's complete soul, that there are no longer any secrets, there are no facades, there are no walls. One's deepest friend, one's actual beloved, one allows to come into one's personal secret garden, the deepest intimate aspect of one's own soul. That's what a beloved means. And we call God Yedid Nefesh, the beloved of our soul, because we want God to penetrate our very being and feel us in our complete subjectivity. But the question then becomes, what does that mean vis-a-vis God? That God is calling us Yedidus Nafshi, the beloved of His soul. What does that mean? What can that mean that God is saying? That we are His beloved, the beloved of His soul, that He brings us into the deepest depths of what God Himself is, that we are not just God's friends, but we are His lovers as well. And that, of course, means that He takes us into the deepest part of God, of what He is, beyond the external layers, beyond any facades. And in the language of Hasidus, that means transcending and beyond all creation, all the universe, all the worlds, any external revelation and manifestation of God's light. Yedidus Nafshi means that God takes us into the essence, into the deepest face, into His face, the pnimius of who He is, to the ineffable essence of what He is. You see, just like a human being, you could put up a really nice facade to most people, and you could present yourself as a respectable person, a sense of humor, being bright, and usually the most complimentary, creative, beautiful parts of who you are is the public face that you present to most people. But those that are your deeper friends, sometimes you're more quiet with them. You're comfortable being quiet with them because you don't need to present a facade. You don't need to impress them. And with your beloved, you could be absolutely silent. And so all of the beauty of creation, the sunsets and the trees and the stars and the galaxy and all the wonderful things in the world is the speech of God, is what God presents, the facade, the chitzonius, the external rays of God's light. But then the angels up above, the angels very often are quiet. They come to states of complete quiet, as the prophets say. They sing at times, but then they come to states of complete quiet when God reveals deeper parts of who He is. But then in God's essence, there's just silence. There's no name, there's no revelation. There's just silence of what God is. In God's essence, there is no revelation. There's just God. And as the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, what's the process that allows us to become intimate, to become God's lover, to go beyond all worlds, and to become unified with God's essence? In other words, to marry God, to become God's lover. The Alter Rebbe says in Tanya in chapter 46, that's what Torah and mitzvahs are all about. And that's the deeper meaning of what we say by every before we do any mitzvah, we make a bracha, a blessing, Asher kiddishonu b'mitzvaysav, which the simple meaning is that who consecrated us, who sanctified us with His mitzvahs, with His commandments. But if you look in Tanya chapter 46, it's much deeper than just some kind of generic word that He consecrated. He sanctified us. The Alter Rebbe says that Asher kiddishonu, the word kiddishonu, has two meanings to it, which are interdependent. One is miloshen kiddushin, Asher kiddishonu, that He married us with His mitzvahs. He took us from being just friends to being His lover. Or in the words of the Alter Rebbe, like one who betroths a wife, that she may be united with him with a perfect bond, and he shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Exactly so, and even infinitely surpassing, is the union of the soul that is occupied in Torah and commandments, with the light of the blessed Ein Sof, with God's infinite essence. And therefore King Solomon, in Shir HaShirim, in the Song of Songs, compared the union of the soul with God through doing mitzvahs with the union of the bride and the groom in attachment, desire, and pleasure, embrace, and kissing. That's the words the Alter Rebbe, and he says that's what Kiddushonu means. He married us. Literally, he became intimate with us. He brought us into his deepest essence. And of course, in that state of intimate union, there's silence. There's no revelation. There's just becoming one flesh with God. And that's what the Alter Rebbe says, the other meaning of Asher Kiddushonu, the second meaning. Kiddushonu means that God elevated us to his infinite aloofness. Kedusha means separate, aloofness, the light that encompasses and transcends the world, that cannot be clothed in the world. He brought us up to his intimate essence, the deepest part of what God is. And you understand that sometimes mitzvahs and learning Torah, page of Gemara, are not as necessarily beautiful and romantic and fascinating and dazzling as the world, as the physical world we see in our eyes. But you understand that's the same way that we, with people that are just acquaintances, when we reveal the external parts of who we are, it's usually more interesting and fascinating than the quiet, the intimate quiet we share with our lover. Doing a mitzvah and learning a page of Gemara is becoming God's lover. It's going kedushanu, separate from all the world, all the universe, and being embraced and kissing in intimate union with God himself and his essence. Or in the words of Emily Dickinson, who is so often concerned with the interpenetration of her finite human longing and the divine presence that draws forth that longing, she writes as follows, "He was my host, he was my guest, I never to this day. If I invited him could tell, or he invited me. So infinite our intercourse, so intimate indeed. Analysis as capsule seemed to keeper of the seed." Any intellectual analysis, any communicable experience of reality is just a capsule, is nothing compared to the keeper of the seed, the one who's attentive to the lived experience of God's intimate essence, the essence in the very being of God in his deepest self. May we become true lovers of God. And that verse in Jeremiah, in chapter 12, verse 7, when God calls us the beloved of his soul, Yedidus Nafshi, God is saying, even when we're in exile, even during times in life when we can't feel God openly, we could still be Yedidus Nafshi, the beloved of God, because Torah mitzvahs propels us to his intimate being no matter where, no matter when. May we learn to look beyond just the beauty of the world that we see, to come to the silence of God's essence, which is screamed out loud in a mitzvah, in Chumash, in a page of Gemara, and may we revel in that love that we share with God to that day that we will become openly one flesh with God with the coming of Mashiach.